Luke 14. Luke chapter 14. I've had rather an eventful day already. You know, we used to come to UCF in the morning and I wouldn't have all these problems. I got brothers mad at me, everyone I've talked to today, with any sort of correction, rebuke, or honesty has been mad at me. Amen. This message is for you and everybody else. You know, the awesome thing is that...
Come on, man.
The awesome... Yeah, blah, blah, blah. You're all mad. And look, Luke chapter 14. Work your way through the Bible rather than working your way through what I say. Anyway, I think almost everybody saw the movie Spider-Man, right? Pretty much everybody. And you remember how Spider-Man's going along and he gets, you know, converted to Spider-Manism or whatever. You know, he becomes Spider-Man and figures out his stuff. By the end of the movie, you know, he's in love with this girl loves him, and it's kind of like, hey, you know, are we going to get together? Are we going to be together? Are we getting married? Is this what we're doing? And you remember how it ends? And he's like, no, we're not getting together. Why? You know? Don't you love me? Oh, yeah. I love you. Isn't this what you want? Yep, that's what I want. Doesn't this relationship look good? Yep, looks awesome. Don't you think the families would be happy? They've endured so much tragedy. Yeah, I think everyone would be excited. Yep. Mm-hmm. On paper, doesn't this look ideal? Pretty much, yeah. So what's the problem? And what's he say? I'm Spider-Man. I don't know about you, but I'm Spider-Man. You do what you do. Our title is I'm Spider-Man. Regardless of what looks ideal, regardless of what I'd like to do, regardless of the great ideas that we can come up with, I'm not speaking for you, I'm speaking for me. I'm Spider-Man and those things are not options for me. It is not an option for me to consider what I would like. Though most people consider that first, I don't even consider it, other than to confess my sin. It is not an option for me to put my finger to the wind and see what would be popular, or what I could get approval for from men, from parents, wife, children, brothers. I don't have that option. I'm Spider-Man. And I know that the struggles that most of us have are struggles because we are not living in accordance with what we are. And I can only imagine. See, I've never lived this way, so I would have to imagine. But I can only imagine what it would be like to be what I am and pretend like I'm not. And I imagine if I did that, I would find you. Luke chapter 14, verse 34. Jesus talking. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? And that is so awesome. You know, and this is right after Jesus told them that if anyone who doesn't give up everything he has cannot be my disciple. This is the on or off switch of the kingdom. See, in the kingdom, you're either on or off. You're either doing it or you're not doing it. Jesus would say, what, in the early Matthew 5, the beginning of his ministry, to his disciples, you are the salt of the earth. I am the salt of the earth, and I will not pretend, though you might, that I'm not the salt of the earth. And salt, Jesus says, is good. We're in dire need of some salt. Let me tell you a situation. Kids had gone to school. This is last Friday. Kids had gone to school. It's about 10 in the morning. Shal and I are sitting down at the table, fellowshipping. Some friends from the world of ours pull up unannounced and want to visit. I asked the husband point blank, how in the world is it that you are not part of my ministry? He answered with some fluff, and I said, let me get a Bible. Because what you're telling me isn't in the Bible, let me get a Bible. He was immediately intimidated. He was immediately embarrassed in front of his wife. Thereafter, as the Bible was open, he's winning Indy 500 trophies ahead of the Bible. Rawr, 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 rawr. I mean, the Bible can't catch him if it was running nuclear fusion type engine stuff. I mean, no chance. That didn't arrest him. He went home in a huff, really, for this religious pretender, and then wrote me and said, we no longer wish to continue our relationship with you guys. Yes, salt is good. Because if you apply salt to a situation, you find out what you're dealing with. And when salt is poured into wounds, you either find out, wow, I'm hurting here. I wouldn't have known it had some salt not been poured in. But I'm dying right here, and here's bad too, and here is brutal. Whoa. My heart taking the salt's taking a killing. Or you'll run off and think I hurt you. Or you'll find out you're wounded. Salt is good for that. But he says, but if it loses its saltiness, how can we make salty again? That's a great question. Isn't that incredible? It's like, hey, anybody want some salt? By the way, it's not salty anymore, but did you want some for your baked potato? For what purpose? Well, salt is just not salty. Salt has one purpose, to be salty. Are you salty? If not, you're dying. That explains why you're hurting. Are you salty? When people come after you, do you spice things up? Imagine. It's not hard to imagine. Spider-Man gets lazy. People just don't appreciate being rescued. People don't appreciate Spider-Man's good deeds. And Spider-Man's watching TV one night and he thinks, man, this is a pretty good show. I think I'll make this a regular occurrence. And it's on every day. That's cool. And rather than go out and be Spider-Man, Spider-Man is eating Twinkies, string cheese, Doritos, and watching TV, getting fat, and his suit is in the closet and doesn't even fit anymore. And it's like, aren't you Spider-Man? Yeah, with the big beer belly. You're Spider-Man? Yeah, there's my suit. Can't even get into it. I'm like, disciples of Jesus who are not salty are like Spider-Man who doesn't live like Spider-Man. And that is always going to be the explanation for anyone who struggles ever. Are you doing what you've been called to do? Are you what you are? Are you being what you're called to be? For we are the salt of the earth, and salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It can't. Unless you go through what Paul wrote to the Galatian churches, the pains of childbirth once again, and it is ugly, and it is complicated, and it is long, and it is drawn out, because the penalties of sin are intense. But look, it's one or the other. Don't give me this working on it stuff. You know, so many times, my brothers will tell me that they need God to do this, and they need God to do that. Look, for most cases, everyone can deny themselves and choose not to do it. But you expect God to do something? Not going to happen. Your Spider-Man live like it. Verse 35. This salt that's not salty anymore, it is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. I have confessed to you that I'm always tempted to please you. I am always tempted to try to make you happy. I am always tempted. But I cannot let you do to me what Satan would have you do. And I'm going to stay salty on you. Hate it all you want. I'm Spider-Man. I'm sorry. I can't marry that little girl. I'm sorry, I can't make her family happy. I'm sorry, I can't put a nice photo in the newspaper. I'm sorry, I can't have the news cover the cute little wedding. Sorry, sorry, sorry. Sorry about your hope chest and your dreams and all your little scrapbook hopes. Sorry. But if I give in to you, please follow me as I follow Christ and have the same attitude, like if you give in to me and what I would have you do and be, then I'm neither fit for the soil nor the manure pile. That's quite a fall. That's a mighty fall. To go from leaping building to building, town to town, bouncing here and there and everywhere, and the ability to do it, to be not even worthy of spicing up the manure pile? I've seen it happen. See, I've seen Batman. And I've seen Robin. And I think they spend their time watching TV and playing with themselves. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. I love that. You know, it is often Jesus says that. It just gets us off the hook. I shared with Jamie Philippians 2. Where it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. And I know he wants to preach with gentleness, and I know he wants to preach with love. But I appealed to him and I showed him that that'll happen as God works in him to do it. But I pray that as all the brothers want him to act a certain way, and as Jonell wants Pat to preach a certain way, as Papa's wanted me to preach a certain way, and Richard wants me to make certain decisions certain ways, amen, look. God's going to have to work that according to his good purpose, but in the meantime, I'm Spider-Man, and I got to do what my Creator has built me to do, whether you do it or not, or whether you like me doing it or not, and let him who has ears to hear, let him hear. And whether it's me or Michael or Jamie or anybody else, I believe that like Jesus, we can say, hey, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. He who has ears to hold up glasses, I guess let him do that. Galatians chapter 6. Look, as disciples of Jesus, we will do one of two things. We will either win the world or be fit neither for the soil nor the manure pile. One or the other. And if your agenda is you, you're not Spider-Man. Galatians chapter 6. I appeal to you that this is your deal. You know, I always appeal to people that it's like, look, you know, my son has all these little frogs. And each little frog in this tank that we're feeding it stuff, each little frog takes responsibility for its own life. It's amazing. Some frogs have made the decision to climb to the top and hide under the lip of the aquarium. Some have made the decision to hop when I reach in, to hop away and bounce, bounce. Some make the decision to go in the water and immediately dive under the water and hide down by the rocks, hold their breath for a while and come up for the air when only absolutely necessary. Some frogs hide under the cardboard that I put in there with the crickets on it and hope that I will not lift the cardboard and they will not be seen. These little frogs used to be tadpoles, and before that they used to be nothing. They were born in a puddle. And they take responsibility for who they are, what they've got, and how they can best deal with it. How they can best keep it together. How they can best be what they are. These frogs work it out. I'm going to speak for me. I'm going to count on you to speak and think for you. Is that too much to ask? Too many times, brothers in the ministry are asking me, what do you think about this, brother? What do you think about that, brother? What should I do here, brother? What should I do here, brother? What about this? What about those? What about this? What about these? My frogs do better than that. And you've got the Holy Spirit? You kidding me? I'm appealing to you, really, 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 really. I'm going to tell you, hey, I'm Spider-Man. And I'm sorry that your party is spoiled, but I'm Spider-Man. And that movie ended pretty cool, and you go away thinking, man, that guy's committed to what he is and who he is and taking responsibility for it. I'm doing it. I do it. I'm hoping to appeal to you to do it, but not to get marching orders from me as to who you are. Because you're all alone in that. Galatians 6, verse 4. Each one, boy, that's a lot of people, isn't it? Each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. I got news for you. If I didn't live this verse, ready for a taste of your own medicine? And I'm not mad. I'm in love. If I didn't live this verse, you'd have to pencil me in for some extra time. And I'd talk to you about my job. And I'd talk to you about my financial pressures. I'd talk to you about my disappointments. And I would go on and on and on and hope that you could bail me out. Please, let's look at it again. This is the Bible, and if the standard of our life is the Bible, this is awesome. Each one should test his own actions. Presumably by the scriptures, you know, work with it here. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. Spider-Man is not going to compare himself to the other jokels in the class. He's not going to compare himself to the captain of the football team who can but throw a football. Please, come on, folks. Give us what you have. Give God what you've really got. Come on now. I'm not going to coach it, minimize it, categorize it, you know, fashion it into a usable part. No. The Bible is clear that God and Jesus Christ gave their gifts to men. They are varied, they are different, and they are incredible. Let's have them. I got to see them. I got to have you at least take the responsibility for those gifts that the frogs do. Those frogs are serious. None of them are disciples. Spider-Man is a cartoon. That guy is serious. They made a movie of it. They could have given it a Hollywood ending and didn't. Maintaining the integrity of the seriousness of Spider-Man. Surely I can get that out of you. If you look around the world, look around the ministry, look around your house, look around. Geez, you know what? I could justify throwing my Bible over there, having a seat, and taking a nap. I could justify grumbling, complaining. I could justify anything. Sadly, that is how many of us live. And if we aren't living that way now, we can nod our head off our shoulders that we've lived that at one time. And we can probably with humility say, ooh, we could be tempted and do that again. You're all alone in this. As a disciple, you are you. And your gifts are your gifts. Your call is your call. It's in accordance with the scriptures. Amen. So don't get too crazy on me. But you've got to take responsibility for it. And stop comparing yourselves to other people. Well, I'm more zealous than him and him, so I think I'm doing all right. What? These people are still in confusion. They don't have a clue what's going on. You're comparing yourselves to them and you think you're doing all right? Not happening. Verse 5. For each one should carry his own load. You don't have to be me, but I do. Is that all right? You don't have to be me, but I do have to be me. And that's all I'm doing. And that's all I'm going to do. And really, that's all I've done. But as I look around, and I can look all the way around, people have been given different things. Let's have it. Let's see it. I would hope you could have the attitude of, hey man, I'm Spider-Man. Also, I remember Jamie and I first got together before he got in the ministry. And he looked at me and he said, look, I'm gonna be more powerful than you are. I love that. Not because it's like, oh, that'll be some good competition. I look like a good game of ball. No. I think Jamie looked at himself, looked at his life, and he said, look, I've been given all I need to live every verse of this Bible. I'm going to blow this little, private school boy away. Amen, brother. Have at it. And I'm not going to be motivated by, oh, man, Jamie's looking better than me. Go get it, brother. Tear it up. Because I'm not looking back, slowing down. For each one should carry his own load. Please, we've got to have that. You are alone in this in many ways, in many times. Look, the time when you are at your best is when you are really on your own with your deal before God. The scriptures would say it. The Bible bears it out. You are at your best when you see that your calling and your gift and your deal and what you need to be and what you need to do are very unique in the kingdom. That's when you're at your best. That's when God is near. That's when you're on the verge of greatness, is when you can see it that clearly. Not when you're dilly-dallying behind men, la, 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 and I do whatever Trent calls me to do, and as long as that's good with him, I feel okay about it. That's grossness. 2 Timothy chapter 1. This is Paul's last letter. Paul's last go around here. 2 Timothy chapter 1. First of all, living the Bible is an on-off deal. You're either doing it or you're not doing it. You're either being saved or you're perishing. You're either in the kingdom or in the world. You're either salty or you're unsalty salt. That's a hard thing. Beyond that, you are what you are before God, with a call to carry your own load and a call to do your own deal before God and stop looking around to make sure you're doing all right. 2 Timothy chapter 1, Paul writing verse 8. So do not be ashamed, writing to Timothy, so do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner. But join with me in suffering for the gospel, by the power of God. You know what I see? That's very rare. Most of the suffering I see is a result of sin, not the gospel. Oh, I'm having a hard time, brother. I'm with you. No. You can't be deceitful, selfish, prideful, have God slap you around, and call that suffering for the gospel. No. Let's go back. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord. Look, this is not a group where the standard is, well, you know, I know it's kind of embarrassing to be a disciple and all, but, you know, try to sneak around and find some situations where it's not so embarrassing and maybe reach out to somebody here and there. No. What's that Spider-Man's attitude? Man, I'm real embarrassed in these tights. And what if people ask, hey, aren't you Peter Parker? No. Do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner. But join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. See, it is going to take God moving you and enabling you to live what you've been called to, which is incredible, in order to eventually get to a spiritual point where you could suffer for the gospel. Look, I mean, I lose relationships all the time. Do you? Like, really lose them. Like, people won't talk to me ever again. Do you have such people? Jesus did. Paul did. That's why on his deathbed, essentially, he's appealing to Timothy. Oh, don't be ashamed of me, Timothy. He would later say, everybody deserted me. Too afraid, too cowardly, too embarrassed. Do you lose people? It's terrible. I mean, I don't wear it as a feather in my cap. Lost another one. It is dreadful. Spider-Man lost his girlfriend. I lose people all the time. You losing people? What's your reputation like? Pretty good? Or awful? You get maliciously slandered? Gossiped about? Verse 9. Talking about by the power of God who has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. All right. We had no chance getting through that stuff. God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life. He has not called you to a popular life. He has not called you to a well-liked life. He's not even called you to a well-respected life. He has called you to a holy life, whether people like it or not. And look, you're going to see people. People are going to like it one day and hate it the next, like it again and hate it the next. But they're never going to get a chance to have it if you abandon it. You have got to be what you are, and you've got to be honest about it, and you've got to do it with confidence before God who has called you to it. See, the way this works, I think too much of us, without the power of God, verse 8, the power of God who's called us to a holy life, without the power of God, we gear up. All right, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go get persecuted for the gospel. Well, no real disciple of Jesus hopes for that or plans on it. That's all right, I can hear me. Nobody really is excited to be persecuted. Nobody really is excited to see people turn their back on the truth. But you have been called to a holy life regardless of the consequences. Not because of anything we have done. We've bumbled and stumbled through life and God has called us. But because of His own purpose and grace, He made you Spider-Man. Give it to Him. He made you what you are. Make it happen. Verse 10. Go to verse 11. Talking about the gospel. Should I move up? Hey, it's kind of shady at this time of day. Verse 11, talking about the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. What are you? Paul was appointed a herald. You know what that is? It's like the first one to bring the news. It's like the initiator. When you find out about it, it's because the herald has let you know. I guess that's why some newspapers call themselves the herald. Yeah, okay, amen. But the real herald is here. And Paul says, look, to this gospel I was appointed a herald. Most people take a beating. And in this modern day, in today, when nobody preaches the truth, that is what we are. Is that what you are? Look, I have to deal with situations where people come over and they just want us to come visit their home. And I have to break out the Bible and show them the truth. And then they're like, you're never invited to our home ever, and we've canceled our invitation to you. That's what heralds get. See, if Spider-Man's were dime a dozen, it'd be like, yeah, whatever. But it's not that way. And heralds are not dime a dozen. You're the one bringing up the subject. You're the one being salty. You're the one doing it for nothing. You're the one who has to do it. Nobody else has broken up this ground before. Nobody's even broached the subject before. Nobody's even mentioned things like that before. Nobody's laid out sin that we lay out. Nobody's gotten that open and cold to that standard. Yikes, yikes, yikes. Herald, is that your life? An apostle and a teacher. Certainly, you could do that. Verse 12. Oh, now I get it. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him for that day. Why are you suffering, Paul? Bunch of bad financial decisions? Nope. Change your major 3 times? Nope. Bad parents? Nope. I am suffering as I am because He's a herald, an apostle, and a teacher of the gospel. If you cannot trace your sufferings to you teaching the truth, then they're not the sufferings of the Bible. They are either sufferings from the weight of your sin crushing you, or they are sufferings because God is opposing your prideful life. And it is important to know why you're suffering if you're suffering. Is it because you just brought news that people didn't like? Is it because you're Spider-Man and people don't like it? Is it because you've been called to live the Bible and nobody else likes it? Why are you suffering, Paul? That's why he suffered. And he goes on, yet I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted Him for that day. You know, Jesus up on that cross told those people, weep for yourselves. Right? Do not weep for me. That's Paul's life here, and that's my life. I'm surrounded constantly by a bunch of takers. Don't weep for me, though. I'm surrounded constantly by a bunch of people who want stuff. Don't worry about me, though. I'm all right, and I'm not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed. I know what God gave me. I know what He made me. I know what He called me to. I'm good as long as I be that. And if I not be that, I can't even find a box seat in the manure pile. Not even general admission. But because I know whom I have believed, and I am convinced that He's doing what He's going to do, I am as good as it gets. And I can only appeal to you to live who you are. And you will be unbeatable, undefeated, and there will be no need for anyone ever to weep for you. Ever. Spider-Man didn't end the movie saying, "I'm Spider-Man. Isn't that so sad?" No, I think he was flying building to building to building to building, doing his deal. Please join me, as Paul wrote to Timothy, join me in doing your deal spiritually. Please. But you've got to come clean about it, and it's got to be in the Bible. One of the greatest efforts that God is going to undertake, sooner than later, brothers, God is going to put fire on the ministry and clean up the secrets of men, the lack of humility of men, the pride of men, the agenda of men, and He is going to torch it. He really is. It is so needed. It is so needed. And it is going to happen. So bare bones, we can get down to who are you? What has God called you to? Let's have it. Or the manure pile. Oh no, not even that. Sorry, throw away. Dumpster. Acts 13. We're going to grab one verse in Acts 13. And then Jamie's going to preach what God would have him preach, whether it's to the delight of men or not. Please. You know what? I shared this with Jamie earlier. I'm sorry to insult all my brothers, but Jamie is a fighter. I'm talking in every way. A fighter. He'd just soon kill you as look at you. He'll fight you in any situation. He is a fighter. And by far, he is the least resistant to the Bible being laid out and him having to change. And I hope that the ministry can get to the point where it is about the Bible. And it is awesome that God can take someone who is a fighter, feisty, arrogant, proud, and have him surrender to the Scriptures, whoever tells him the Scripture. Whether Doug tells him the Scripture, Foster tells him the Scripture, Pat, Michael, I tell him the Scripture. He's in. And it is awesome that God can make such a feisty fighter type that submissive to the Bible. In my book, he can do anything after that, and it'll be of God. Acts 13. This is Paul talking about David. This is a little weird, but we're just going to hit this one verse. Paul talking about David, Acts 13, verse 36. For when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his fathers, and his body decayed. Why are we reading that, brother? Paul laid out, we just read it, 2 Timothy 1, Paul laid out the standard for living the Bible on the leading edge. It is a standard of no shame. It is a standard of giving it everything you have and calling others to join you in the gospel and the truth. It is a standard of seeing that it is the power of God that makes it happen. And it wasn't because you were such a nice person that God called you or made you Spider-Man. Okay? Amen. And then when it is done, it is done. I guess you get to die. When David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he died. We do this till we die. We live the Bible, then you die. We don't keep a close eye out for the Social Security Administration and their new policy. We don't worry about retirement. When you have served God's purpose, then you get to die. You get to get buried, perhaps, and you get to decay. That may happen sooner than later or later than sooner, I don't know, but it's done when it's done, and the timing of when it is done is when you have finished God's purpose for your life. So if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus, you've essentially signed up that it's like, look, I'm Spider-Man for life. I don't take vacations from being a disciple. I don't take breaks from being a disciple. I don't do that, what, Haggai chapter 1? I don't build my own paneled house while the Lord's house is in a ruin, and then I'll deal with the Lord's house after I get my act together. That's not how we live. David did what he did. It was rather incredible at the time. And then he died, buried, and got decayed. That is how it is with us. It's over when it's over, and God will let us know because we won't be alive anymore. The only frogs that don't have a strategy and a plan to deal with me in the tank are the ones that died. Everyone else is still doing their deal. I will not forget, pretend, ignore the fact that I am what I am. What would Paul say? By the grace of God, I am what I am. However you want to label that, however you want to call it, whatever you want to categorize it by, I am what I am, and I cannot pretend not to be. But my real appeal is for you. See, my appeal is for you to be what God has called you to be, and to be it without apology, without exception, and to do it until you die and decay. That's the call. Starting, stopping, starting, stopping, starting, stopping. Isn't it? I mean, Spider-Man on Twinkies and TV with a clicker, a pot belly, and a suit that doesn't fit is not pretty. Nor is salt not even fit for the manure pile. But disciples who don't act like disciples, walk like disciples, talk like disciples, live like disciples, and minister like disciples are those things that are ugly. Amen.